All right, so we're holding on Pei Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah. We talked about where the various cases where you bring the Korban Pesach B'tumah, and we also talked about what happens when there are cases where the blood or whatever of it becomes Tomei and we can still be Yotze with it, but now what happens when it actually becomes Tomei, when the meat itself actually becomes Tomei and it wasn't brought B'tumah, so now that meat has to be burnt. So now we're going to talk about that. Mishnah says, Nitma Shalom O Rubai, if the whole Korban Pesach or most of it became Tomei, Sofen Osa Lifnei HaBira, then you have to burn it in front of the Bira. The Bira the Gemara mentions in a couple of places is either a name for the Beis Hamikdash as a whole, or it's a specific area on the Har HaBayis, whatever it is, you burn it over there. Me'atzei HaMa'arocha, and you use wood from the Ma'arocha. You use wood from that was supposed to be used for the wood pile on the Mizbeach. Instead, you use it to burn this Korban. Now, the idea is, in other words, that the Tosfos explains, it's called Lev based in Masna, that the based in to begin with, when people donate that wood to Hektish, then based in has in mind that one of the purposes, besides that it can be used for burning the Karbonis on the Mizbeach, it can also be used for burning Karbonis that became Tomei like this. And we'll see in the Gemara why we dafka have to do it in front of the Beis Hamikdash. And once we do that, then we'll understand also why you dafka have to use Atzei HaMa'arocha. Continues the Mishnah, Nitma Mi'utai, if only a smaller part of the Korban Pesach became Tomei, V'han Noiser, or if you have Noiser left of it, then Sofer Noiser B'chatzrei Seir, and then they can burn it in their Chatzeres, because remember, the Korban Pesach can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, so they can burn it just in their yard, Oyav Gagrei Seir, or on their roofs, Me'atzei Atzman, and they use their own wood for the purpose. They don't use wood from the Ma'arocha, as we'll see in the Gemara. Hatzaikonin, the stingy people, the misers, Sofenosa Lifnei HaBira, even in that case when it's only a small part of it became Tomei, or some of it was Noiser, they even these cheap people, they don't want to bother using wood of their own, so therefore they also burn it in front of the Bira, B'shvil Lehonis Ma'atzei HaMa'arocha, because they want to be able to benefit from the wood of the Ma'arocha. They don't want to have to spend money on wood themselves, so therefore they have the option also of going in front of the Beis Hamikdash and burning it in front of the Bira using the Atzei HaMa'arocha. So the Gemara starts off, my timer, why are we saying that if all or most of it became Tomei, then you have to burn it in front of the Bira? Then there's no option to just burn it in your backyard. The reason is in order to embarrass them, because that was careless to allow most of it or all of it to become Tomei. So therefore, we davka want them to burn it in front of the Beis Hamikdash in order, in front of the Bira, which whatever Bira means, the Beis Hamikdash as a whole, or a specific area on the Har HaBayis, in order to embarrass them so they don't do it like that.
Who are we embarrassing? The Yisrael or the Kohen? Who's touching
it? No, this is the Yisrael. This is the person who brought the Korban Pesach, and now he carelessly allowed the meat of it to become Tomei, all or most of it. So now we make him burn it over there, so he should be embarrassed and not do that in the future.
But we can't be talking about the Kohen.
Well, wouldn't be. If the Kohen was matame it, maybe if the Kohen was matame it during the avoda. But how is he matame it during the avoda? If he himself is Tomei and he does the avoda, it's chayv misa b'dei shamayim anyway. So yeah, but pashtus, we're talking about that. Everything went well with it. It was brought home, and then somehow he was careless and he allowed it to become Tomei. Anyway, the point is now, on the other hand, once we say that he has to burn it in front of the Bira in order to embarrass him, we're not going to bother him to bring wood of his own. We'll allow him to use wood of a Hektish for that purpose. Actually, we'll see soon in the Gemara two reasons why when a person is burning it in front of the Bira, why he has to use Atzei HaMa'arocha. We'll get to that soon. Okay. So the Mishnah had said Nitma Mi'uta V'chola, that if only a small part of it became Tomei or Noiser, then we said you don't have to burn it in front of the Bira. If you're Tzaikonin, so if a person is stingy, then he has the option to do that. And Tosfos points out, there also, the Chachamim will allow him to use Atzei HaMa'arocha, because otherwise, being so stingy, he might not bother burning it at all. And we know, after all, there's a mitzvah to burn kodshim that became tamei or noiser. So therefore, he does have to burn it. And he being stingy, he might not want to use his own wood. Therefore, the Chacham said, you know what, fine. The least worst thing then is for him to do it in front of the bira and use the atzeim aracha. He doesn't mind getting embarrassed doing it in front of the bira. Fine. But akoponim, let him use atzei ma'arocha, because otherwise he may not do it at all. We can't allow him to take atzei ma'arocha home and do it, as the Gemara will say soon, because there might be some left over, and then he's going to end up doing me'ila with them.
Is he allowed to bury it?
No, you're not allowed to bury it, but we're going to discuss that. Burying, we're going to discuss that point soon, why it requires burning. We're going to get to that soon. Okay. So we said in the Mishnah, Nitma mi'urta v'chola, we said if a minority of it became tamei, then we said you just burn it in your yard or on your roof. So the Gemara says, Ereminu. I have a contradiction to that, though. We learned in a Mishnah at the end of the third parak, V'chein mishi yotza mi'yerushalayim. Similarly, if a person left Yerushalayim, we told you before, in the earlier part of the Mishnah, you had the case where a person is traveling to do a mitzvah and then realizes they still have chametz in their possession at home. So we said it depends. If he has enough time to go back and burn it, then he should do, and then continue with his mitzvah and still not be late for it, then he should do that. Otherwise, we said he can be mevatalit where he is. And if it's less than a kazayas or a kibetz, we had a machlokas over there, then he's allowed to continue on either way. So then the Mishnah continued, V'chein b'shiyotzim Yerushalayim, the same way when a person left Yerushalayim, v'nizkar sheyesh b'yadei b'sar kodesh, he remembers that he has b'sar kodesh, he remembers that he has meat of korbanos with him, which as soon as it's taken out of Yerushalayim becomes posel, so it has to be burnt. So im avar tsofim, if he already, by the time he realized it, he had already passed tsofim. So Rashi over here and over there explains that Sofim is a particular place from which you could still see the Beis Mikdash. Tosfos had said over there that it means in any direction that you're leaving Yerushalayim, when you're at the last point that you can see the Beis Mikdash from there, is called Sofim. And then beyond that would be that you passed Sofim. There is, of course, there's Harat Sofim, northeast of Yerushalayim. So in that direction, that would be the Tsofim of the Beis Mikdash, Bepashtos. But then in other directions, you'd have different other places. Anyway, so if you pass that, Sofoi b'mekoimo, then we allow him to just burn it where it is. We're not matriachim to go back to Yerushalayim to burn it. And if not, if he hasn't passed that point yet, then we make him come back and burn it in front of the bira using the atzei ma'arocha. So you see that even though it's only a miut, you see the Mishnah goes on to say over there that he has to return for a kazayas or a kibetz, a machlokas, or a meyer and a rioda. You see that he still has to go back and burn it in front of the bira. So what are you telling me in our Mishnah that he can just burn it in his yard or on his roof? Omar of Chama Bar Ukva, like Kasha, Kan Ba'ach Sinoi, Kan Ba'alabais. So Rav Chama Bar Ukva says, the difference is here, the Mishnah in the third parak on Daf Mem Tes is talking about a guest. So he doesn't have wood of his. He doesn't have wood of his own that he's carrying with him. We're not going to be matriachim to go, collect wood. So therefore, he can go burn it in front of the bira, and the gizbarim of the Beis Mikdash will give him wood from the ma'aracha for that purpose. Wood from the stock of wood in the Beis Mikdash that would have been used for the ma'aracha. Obviously, we don't mean that they take wood off the mizbeach itself. Kanba Balabais, whereas our Mishnah is talking about a Balabas. He lives in Yerushalayim, so therefore he has wood at home. He has wood for lots of purposes at home, cooking and heating and whatever. So he should take some of that and use that to burn his noiser, and then he doesn't have to go in front of the bira. Rapapa says both Mishnayas are talking about a guess. Kan shehechsek baderech, kan shelehechsek baderech. The difference is, did he already set out on the way? Did he already set out on the way? So then, like we said in the previous Mishnah, he already passed Sofim, so we're not going to bother him to, or even if he didn't pass Sofim yet, he's already well on his way. He already started schlepping out, so therefore we're not going to make him go back for wood. And therefore he can burn it. Therefore, we're fine. He didn't cross Sofim yet, so he does have to come back and burn it in front of the Bira, but he does have to come back and burn it in Yerushalayim, but we'll allow him to use Atzei Ma'arocha for it. As opposed to Kanshalo Hechsek Baderech, as opposed to our Mishnah is talking that he hadn't Bechlal started on his journey yet, and therefore then he has the option of then he can go burn it in his chotzer if he wants. But it's not that if Hechsek Baderech he can't burn it in the chotzer, in other words, But we don't require him. If he goes and burns it in the chotzer, he's also going to have to go and collect wood. We're not going to be matriach him to do that. So if he wants, he can just go use wood from the Beis HaMikdash and do that in front of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Rav Zvid Amar La'olam K'dah Amar Me'ikra. Rav Zvid says that we can answer like we did originally, like Rashi explains that Rav Zvid is going like Rav Chama. We'll talk in a second. Tosfos has a whole different understanding. La'olam K'dah Amar Me'ikra. It is after all like we said originally, like Rav Chama said that there's a difference between a guest and a balabais. Kan Bach Sanoi, kan balabais. But not like Rav Papa, that it makes a difference whether he started traveling or not. Even if he didn't start traveling yet, nevertheless, there's still a difference. Because we'll say like this, because the difference is, it doesn't matter with a guest whether he started going or not. Like Rav Chama had said, what it is given to Leslie, since we can't expect him to have wood of his own, therefore the Chacham say, fine, he can act like we allow him to act like the Saikonin, the Tanan, where we said in our Mishnah, it's Saikonin. In the stingy people, surfing osia lifnei abira, they burn in front of the bira b'shvil ahonis me'atzei ma'arocha in order to benefit from the atzei ma'arocha. So, in other words, the same way as even a person who lives in Yerushalayim always has that option. If they don't mind the embarrassment, then we'll allow them to use atzei ma'arocha and do it in front of the Beis HaMikdash. The same way, this guest, we're not going to require. When we said on Daf Mem Tes that he comes back and burns it in front of the bira, we don't mean he's required to. We mean he's like a tzaikon, and if he chooses to use that option, then he has that option available to him. If instead he wants to collect wood or buy wood or whatever and go and burn it in a chotzer, which like our Mishnah is saying, also fine. So Rashi understands then that we have two opinions. We have Rav Chama bar Ukva and Rav Zvid, who distinguish between a guest and a balabai. And we have a papa who says that no, there's no distinction. Both Mishnayos are talking about guests, but there's a difference of hechsik baderech or not. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's explanation because usually when you have la'olam, it means we asked a question on one of the previous explanations, and now we're saying after all we can make it work by explaining such and such. You don't just do it in order to clarify the details of why Rav Chama bar Ukva said it. So he says like this. So Tosfos says two possibilities. One is that Rav Chama bar Ukva and Rav Papa are not really arguing. You do have two opinions over here, but you have Rav Chama bar Ukva and Rav Papa are one opinion, and then Rav Zvid is another. Namely, Rav Chama bar Ukva is saying that whether you're talking about a guest or a balabais, when do we say that he burns it in front of the bira is only if hechsik baderech. But if not hechsik baderech, then he would burn it in the chotzer and he would use his own wood. However, Rav Chama bar Ukva is not specifying that detail. He said kan b'achsanoi, kan b'balabais, but in fact he means that really the difference is whether hechsik baderech or not. Even an achsanoi, even a guess that not hechsik baderech is basically like a balabais. Rav Papa is saying that Rav Papa is clarifying then what Rav Chama bar Ukva is saying that within an achsanoi itself, there'll be a difference whether he started traveling or not. Then Rav Zvid is arguing on both of them and saying that no, if he's a guest and loy hechsik baderech, he didn't start traveling yet, we're saying that he's like the tzaikonin of the Mishnah, and therefore that he goes and burns it in front of the bira. Whereas according to that explanation, Rav Chama bar Ukva and Rav Papa would have said that since not hechsik baderech, then he has to burn it in the chotzer using his own wood. Rav Zvid would say rather that no, even then he's able to use atzei ma'arocha and burn it in front of the Beis HaMikdash if he wants to. That's one explanation in Tosfos. The other explanation is that actually you have Rav Chama bar Ukva is making a generic statement, and then Rav Papa and Rav Zvid are arguing what Rav Chama bar Ukva meant. Rav Papa saying that Rav Chama bar Ukva would distinguish between hechsik and not hechsik, and Rav Zvid would say that there's no distinction. A guest is always, it doesn't matter whether hechsik or not. The point is Tosfos agrees with Rashi that there aren't three opinions over here. There are only two, but not like Rashi had said that Rav Zvid is just reinforcing what Rav Chama bar Ukva says. No, either Rav Zvid is actually arguing with Rav Chama bar Ukva and Rav Papa, namely that two of them agree and then Rav Zvid disagrees, or that Rav Papa and Rav Zvid are arguing what Rav Chama bar Ukva meant. Okay. Continuing on this topic, Tana Rabbanan, bo l'sorfe b'chatzvei sein uva'at ume'atzei amarocha, if a person wants to burn the noiser or the tomei of the Korban Pesach in his chotzer, ume'atzei amarocha, but he wants to use wood from the wood pile on the Beis HaMikdash, ein shomin lehen, we don't listen to him, we don't allow him to do that. Lifnei abiro me'atzei atzman, and if he wants to do it in front of the Beis HaMikdash, but using his own wood, also ein shomin lehen, we also don't listen to him. It's one or the other. It's either chotzer and your own, it's either your own chotzer and your own wood, or lifnei abiro and the wood of the marocha. So now the question is why? B'shleima me'atzei marocha b'chatzvei sein. I can understand why we don't allow them to use wood from the marocha in their chotzer. Because there might be wood left over. After he finishes burning it, there might be some wood left over. But also, and he's going to come to stumble on it. He's going to end up having hanah from it. Now, fine, there's no me'ila in it, Rashi says, because to begin with, Beis Din gave it to them al tanai, but still, the whole point was Beis Din gave it to them in order to burn the korban. Now they have leftover. Fine, midaraisa, maybe it wouldn't be me'ila because Beis Din allowed them to have it, but nevertheless, they still shouldn't be using it for their own purposes. So that's why if he's going to be doing it in his chotzer, he has to use his own wood. Ela lifnei abira me'atzei atzman my time aloi. Why, if they want to do it in front of the Beis Mikdash, why shouldn't they be able to supply their own wood? So two reasons. Rabbi Yosef says the reason is because we don't want to embarrass people who don't have. If you have the in front of the Beis Mikdash is a big public area. If you have some people are going to bring their own wood, then other people who can't afford wood of their own are going to be embarrassed. Then you're going to start having people are going to notice this person brought his own wood. That person, the Gizbarim, have to bring him wood. Therefore, they just made that everybody has to use wood from the Beis Mikdash. Rava Amar Mipnei Chashad. Rava says a different reason, because of suspicion. Because what happens, you finish burning the noiser or the tomei. If you brought your own wood, then you're taking the rest of the wood back home. So now somebody sees you walking away with wood, he's going to jump to conclusions and say, hey, he probably used wood from the Ma'arocha, and now he's taking it home, and he's going to be over on Me'ila, and then stealing from the Beis HaMikdash. So instead, we say that if you're doing it in front of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to use wood from the Beis HaMikdash. That way, you're never going to take any home, and there's no room for chashad.
Well, this I understand, but if you're using the wood from the Beis HaMikdash, and you don't need it, keep it there, because everyone who needs to burn will be using the same wood from the Beis HaMikdash, the wood leftover woods, because then by the campfire, you know, like campfires, whatever you don't use, you leave there, and then next person will have it. They're waiting, unless it gets ruined from the rain. I don't know.
It could be that it could get ruined from the rain. It could be also that maybe it's not that common to have noiser and tomei, such that you're necessarily going to have another person after you doing it. It's also possible, of course, everybody's just doing it at the same time. Remember, I mean, it becomes noiser for everybody at the same time, and Tomei also, right? You can't burn it by, you can't burn it that night, you can't burn it Yom Tov night anyhow, you have to wait for the morning of Chol HaMoed, but so it could be, maybe in theory they could leave the wood for the next person. I guess the Gemara is assuming they didn't, that you either finish with the wood, you finish with all the wood that you were given, and that's that, or you're expected to return the rest of it to the Gizbarim, but not to take any of it home and not just to leave it there.
Because I don't think the Gizbarim want to bring it back in the Beis HaMikdash, because then it's a question of people handle it, they will tell me, you know, you bring it back in the Beis HaMikdash, could be a problem.
Not necessarily. First of all, if a person is coming in front of the Beis HaMikdash to burn their korban, then it means that they themselves, if they came in front of the Beis HaMikdash, then they themselves aren't tamei, otherwise they couldn't go there. But besides that, wood is not necessarily able to become tamei anyway. There is a concept we've learned before about Chibas HaKodesh, that the wood of Kodeshim is able to become tamei, Daraisa, Darabanan, we have different opinions about that. Fine, maybe then the Gizbarim have to supervise and make sure that the guy wasn't tamei. I don't know. Apparently the Gemara is assuming that he doesn't just leave the wood there for the next person to use.
And this place where they're burning is considered Beis HaMikdash. I thought it was in front of the Beis HaMikdash, not yet.
Well, we mean, in other words, someplace on the Harabayas or something. So at least certain levels of Tmeim are not allowed to go there. Especially again, you have a machloikas elsewhere in Shas what the word bira means, whether it means, I think we had it on Daf Mem Tes actually. whether Bira means the whole Beis Hamikdash complex or whether it means one specific area on the Har HaBayis, but whatever it is, yeah, I mean, I guess you have people aren't necessarily, the people who go there are presumably Tahorim, but again, maybe that's the job of the Gizbarim also, is to check on that. All right, let's go on. So the Gemara says, "My Benai, what is the practical difference between Rava's and Rabbi Yosef's explanations?" The answer is, "Ikke Benai Daisi Koni V'Chariyosa." What if he wants to burn it in front of the Bira, and the wood that he brings is, for example, reeds or branches of palm trees? D'loy Chazi L'Maracha. Now those are not suitable as wood for the Mizbeach because they burn up too quickly. So anybody who sees that kind of wood is going to know it's not from Atzei HaMa'aracha. So Rava's reason of Mipnei HaShad won't apply, because if he takes the rest of it home, nobody's going to think he's stealing from the Beis HaMikdash. But the reason Shaloi Levayish is Misha Inlo still applies, because you're going to have, he's going to come with his firewood. Meanwhile, you're going to have other people standing around over there who don't have wood of their own, and the Gizbarim have to give it to them. So in that case, then Rabbi Yosef's reason would apply, but Rava's wouldn't. The Rambam paskins like Rava's reason, so therefore fine. If he wants to use reeds or palm branches or other things like that, which are not suitable for Atzei HaMa'aracha, then fine, he can bring his own if he wants. He doesn't have to use wood from the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Since we're talking about this kind of thing where we have two reasons for something done in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them is Mipnei HaShad, we also mentioned at the beginning of the Gemara that if most of the korban became tomei, then we make him burn in front of the Bira Kedei Levayishon in order to embarrass him. So now we have a different Mishnah in Tumid, which we're going to analyze in the same way about why we do something. Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Talmud, Rosh HaMamad Hoya Mamad Es HaTmein Al Shad HaMizrach. The head of the Maimad, so you have there were Mishmoras of Koyanim who served in the Beis HaMikdash every week, and each Mishma was divided into several Batei of. Then you had also, there were the groups of Levim and groups of Yisraelim that corresponded to them. So the job, one of the things, the Rosh HaMaimad, the one who is in charge of the Yisraelim who are coming to watch the Korban being brought, and that way they're to watch the Korban Talmud being brought, they're serving as representatives of the whole Jewish people in that. So the head of the Maimad, Hoya Maimad is a Tmeim al Shara Mizrach. He would have the Tmeim stand by the Shara Mizrach. So Rashi explains what we mean is, in other words, you have, again, there's the, you know, Mishma number whatever is this turn. It's their turn this week to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. It's Tuesday, so therefore it's the turn of the third base of. If you have anybody from that base of, that's Tomei, any of the Kohenim of that base of who are Tomei, then he would have them stand by the Shara Mizrach. Rashi explains that Shara Mizrach over here means the entrance to the Har HaBayis, that most people would enter in through that way. Now, the actual eastern gate of the Har HaBayis is not usually the way that most people would enter. Most people entered through the southern gate. So it could be actually, maybe Rashi means the eastern one of the southern gates, or maybe, anyway, whatever it is, the point is that everybody is passing by there. So the question is why they would have him stand over there. Tosfos learns that actually we're talking about the gate from the Har HaBayis into the Ezras Noshim. So these Tmeim being that they're Tomei, are not allowed to go any further. They're not allowed to go into the Ezras Noshim, or even if they're Tvul Yoim, even if they already toiveled, they're still not allowed to go into the Ezras Noshim, Midrabanan, but they're allowed to stand by the entrance of it. So my timer, why does that Rosh HaMaimad make them stand over there? Amar Rabbi Yosef Kedei Levayishon. So Rabbi Yosef says, in order to embarrass them, look, I mean, you were supposed to be doing the Avoda today. You're part of today's Beis Av. You got careless and allowed yourself to become Tomei. Therefore, you're going to stand over there in front of everybody in order to embarrass you. And that way you won't do it again. Rava Amar Bnei Hashad. Rava says a different reason. It's because we don't want people to suspect him of that they slacked off and decided not to come to the Avoda, because people are going to see in the Beis HaMikdash, they see, I know Pliny the Kohen, he's supposed to be in today's Beis Av. Why isn't he serving? He must have decided to ditch the Avoda and go to do his regular work. So because of Chashad, we make him stand over there by the Shaar HaMizrach in order that everybody should realize not so. So the Gemara says, "My Benayu." Again, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yosef's and Rava's reasons? The answer is Ikke Benayu Mufanki. One difference between them would be, what if you have a person who is very delicate and pampered? So you have the certain kinds of people who we know don't work. They're rich and they have plenty of money or whatever it is. They never work at all. So therefore, nobody's gonna suspect them of cutting the avoda in order to go to work because they don't work anyway. So there's no issue of chashad. But Kedei Levayshan still applies because he was careless and allowed himself to become tamei. Inami de kagodol shishura. Another possibility is, what if we have a person whose job is to make ropes? Now that's a very easy job, kind of not easy really. It's a umnos kala. Rashi says like there's not much craftsmanship to it. It's not like it's a hard job to do. You also don't get paid much for it. So nobody's gonna think that he ditched the avoda in order to do his job of making ropes. It's a very boring and low paying job. But on the other hand, if he has a regular job, so in that case also, Mipnech Shad wouldn't apply. Rabba's reason, Mipnech Shad wouldn't apply, but Rabbi Yosef's reason, Kedei Levayshan would still apply. The Rambam has a whole different understanding of what's going on over here with these Tmeim that are standing by the Shad HaMizrach. The Rambam understands, first of all, that the Tmeim we're talking about over here, not like Rashi and Tosfos, that we're talking about the people of today's base of who were careless and became Tomei. Rather, we're talking about people who are Tomei and today is their day to bring the korban. For example, a Zav or a Yeledes or whatever. So he would have them stand by the Shara Mizrach, and the Rambam explains, Shara Mizrach then means Shara Nikonar. It means the gate between the Ezras Noshim and Ezras Yisrael, because they can't go any further. Being Mechusre Kapara, they're allowed to go into the Ezras Noshim. They're not allowed to go any further until their korban is offered. So therefore, he stands them over there in order that they should be ready to offer their korban as soon as they finish bringing the korban Tomid. Now, then the question would be, so why do we have them stand there? So one reason would be Kedei Levayshan, not to embarrass them that they have to bring a korban. You know, for example, your lettuce, she didn't do anything wrong. But rather, in order to... So the Rambam actually paskins like Rava's understanding with Nech Hashad. So then the idea was, we don't want people to suspect that later on, when we see them eating kodshim, people are going to suspect that they didn't bring their korban and they're eating kodshim when they're not allowed to. So therefore, we make them stand there in full view of everybody while the talmud is being brought. That way, everybody knows that they brought their korban. The Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yosef's understanding of Kedei Levayshan, but the Noisa Kalim and the Rambam talk about that what he would say is that Kedei Levayshan, Rabbi Yosef's reason, would mean just in order to prevent them from, this way we don't want them to not bring their korban like this one. When everybody sees them standing there, they're not going to want to walk away in full public view of everybody and say, you know what, forget it, I don't want to bring my korban today. Like this, they were standing there, so therefore they'll end up doing it. But the Rambam paskins, like Rava's reason anyway, with Nechashad, and he doesn't bring these exceptions about the mafanki, about the people who don't work for a living, or the gadol shishura, the people who make ropes, which actually the Lechem Mishnah and the Rambam explains, the Rambam has a different understanding of those, that he would say that Kedei Levayshan is not even going to work with such people, because Mefanki are the kind of people, they don't work for a living. They also probably don't care what other people's opinion is about them. So therefore, they're not going to be embarrassed if they walk away. So that's not a valid reason to make them stand there. The only reason can be in order that people don't suspect them of eating korbanos without without bringing their korban for their kapara. And the same thing, a rope maker is somebody who the Lechem Mishnah explains that a rope maker is somebody he has such a low paying job that he doesn't care about other people's opinion of him. He knows people are always looking down on him anyway. So if people look down on him also, it's not going to make a difference to him. But on the other hand, Nechashad still applies. We don't want people to mistakenly suspect him that he is eating korbanos without having first brought his korban. Therefore, we make him stand over there.
So according to the ones you're speaking about, that's going on the Kayhanim, who it's their chance to Mishpat. I'm assuming they just stand there just in the beginning. They don't have to stand there the whole Mishpat.
No, they don't stand there the whole day. No, they just stand there until after the Talmud is brought.
Okay. And they don't get paid work in the Beis Hamikdash. It's just it's a mitzvah. It's enjoyment, right?
Yeah, it's a mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, "Have Pesach sheyotza. If the korban Pesach, if the meat of it was taken out of Yerushalayim, or for that matter, the Rambam talks about, the Rambam mentions also, if it was taken out of the house where it's being eaten, we're going to learn towards the end of our parak that the korban Pesach has to be eaten inside one place, inside one house, and if it's taken out of there, then it becomes possible. So if it was taken out of there, if it was taken out of Yerushalayim, then it becomes possible. Oshen nitma, or if it became tomei." Yisoref miyad, and before Pesach began, Yisoref miyad, then you can burn it right away then on Erev Pesach. You don't have to wait until the morning of Chol HaMoed. You don't need Ibur Tzura. We've talked about in the Masechta before, but Ibur Tzura, that sometimes when a korban is posel, we say you anyway, you can't burn it right away. You have to leave it overnight until it has Ibur Tzura, and then you burn it. The Rabbeinu Hananel understands that Ibur Tzura means that literally you leave it until it rots. Rashi, in a number of places, says that it just means that you have to leave it overnight, and now it's not as fresh as it was before. Whatever the case, we learned before, and we're going to learn again in the Gemara over here, that certain cases where kodshim become posel, you need ibur tzura. The general rule we've learned before is if the psul is in something, is not in the korban itself, but in some side thing, then it needs ibur tzura. But if the psul is in the korban itself, then it doesn't need ibur tzura. You can burn it right away. So now, when the Pesach was taken out of Yerushalayim, or it became tamei, then that's considered a psul begufay. Therefore, you saref miyad, you can burn it right away. You don't need ibur tzura. You don't have to leave it until the morning of Chol HaMoed. Rashi points out, by the way, we would say you could burn it the next morning, but here the next morning is Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to burn kodshim that are posel on Yom Tov. So if it needs ibur tzura, it's going to have to wait for the morning of the 16th. Anyway, that's if there was a psul begufay, nitmu abaylim, but if the owner became tamei, oishem mesu, or the owner's died, so now it's not a psul in the actual korban itself, it's a psul machmas dover acher, it's a psul in a side thing, because now there's nobody available to eat the korban Pesach. Then to ubur tzurasai, then you need ibur tzura, you need to leave it overnight, but you start off b'shishasai, and then you burn it only on the morning of the 16th of Nisan. Rabbi Yechon and Baruch Omer, after you start off miyad, the fishayna she'en lo oichlin. Rabbi Yechon and Baruch says, no, even this you can burn right away because now that it doesn't have anybody available to eat it, then that's considered a psul begufay. So we'll see in the Gemara why they're arguing. Okay, so the Gemara says, bishlema tomei. I understand how we know that if meat of a korban becomes tamei, how we know that we have to burn it. Because the pasuk clearly says, v'habasar she'yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'ochol. It says that meat that touches anything that's tamei, you can't eat it. But eish yisoref, it has to be burnt with fire. Ela yotze minalon. But how do we know that if kodshim are taken out of where they're supposed to be, in this case, the korban Pesach was taken outside of Yerushalayim, that you have to burn it? Maybe, like you were saying before, Eli, maybe you only have to bury it. Or there are certain isurei hana where we say there's a specific mitzvah to bury them and not to burn them. And one thing is, the Mishnah points out in Tmura, a nafkamina, if it is the ones that have to be buried, you're not allowed to have hana from the ashes. So here, we're not saying it's also b'hana to that extent that you should have to bury it in order to, and not be able to have hana from the ashes if you burn it. All we mean, Rashi says on Amud Beis, is maybe you should have to just, maybe you're not required to burn it. Maybe you just like you hide it away in such a way that, let's say, the dogs don't get it. And then eventually it rots away on its own. Who says there's a mitzvah to burn it? So like this, dichtiv, because you have in Parshas Shmini, you have the whole story over there where there are many korbanos being brought on that day, and Moshe finds out that one of the korbanos, one of the chatois, was burnt, and he's angry at Elazar and Isamar, and then Aaron explains to him what's going on. So in the discussion over there, Moshe says to them, "Hein lo hovo es dama ela kodesh pnima." It says, "Behold, the blood of it was not brought into the kodesh in the inside." Meaning, what's going on over here? Omaloi Moshe l'Aaron means Moshe is saying to Aaron, "Madua le'achaltam as a chatas? Why didn't you eat? Why didn't you eat the chatas? This chatas that instead you burned? Shema nichnas dama lefnai v'lefnim? Is it possible that maybe you took the meat, the blood of the korban inside the heichal, inside the actual main building of the Mishkan?" Which in that case, if you did that, even if you did it by accident, then yeah, you were right in burning the korban. But in that case, it was careless of you to bring in the blood. But at least that way, then the halacha is that you do burn the korban, as the pasuk tells us in Parshas Tzav, Omaloi Lav. So Aaron tells him, no, it didn't. The blood of it was not brought into the Mishkan. So then he says, Omaloi Shema Chutzlim Chitzasa Yatzasa. Was it maybe taken outside the Azara? Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains like this. You have the words that he says, El HaKodesh Pnima? Was it brought into the Kodesh inside? Now, the word inside would be extra. So because of course the main building of the Mishkan is inside relative to the Chatzar. So it means therefore, so first he's asking, so he's asking, Hema Yehovah as Dama al Kodesh, the blood was not brought into the Kodesh, and it was Pnima. It was inside the Azara the whole time, or the other way around, was it not Pnima? Did you maybe take it out of the Azara at some point, and it wasn't Pnima, it wasn't on the inside of the Azara where it was supposed to be? And the answer is that no, Pnima, it was inside the Azara the whole time. He asks him, Shema Chutzim Chitzasa Yatsa, was the meat of the korban outside its mechitza, in which case it would have been correct about it. Amalei lav v'kodesh hoisa. So Aaron tells him, no, it stayed in the kodesh. It stayed in the chotzer the whole time. Amalei iba kodesh hoisa. So then Moshe says, well, in that case, if it was in the chotzer the whole time, and v'hein lehova as dama la kodesh pnima, and the blood of it was not brought into the heichel, then madu aleichaltem hoisa. Then the question comes back: why didn't you eat it? Miklal, so we derive from that, from the fact that Moshe is saying that if it had been taken out, then it would have been correct about it. So we see, de'inafka, if the meat of the korban is taken outside of its mechitza, now in the case of a chatas is kodshim kodshim, therefore the meat of it has to stay in the azara. A korban pesach is kodshim kalim, so the same rule applies, but it doesn't apply to the azara, it applies to the whole Yerushalayim. So we see from this pasuk that if meat is taken out from the mechitza where it goes, where it's supposed to be, the Azara or Yerushalayim, as the case may be, inami ayil damal lifnim, or in the case of a chatas, if the blood of it was brought into the heichel, then basrefa, then we see that it has to be burnt, because then we see that Moshe is telling Aaron, if either of those things had happened, then you'd be correct in burning the korban, but since neither of them happened, then why'd you burn it? So therefore, so we see that Yotzeh has to be burnt. Okay. So now the Gemara says, but still, how do we see that that applies to Kodshim Kalim? In that case, that was talking about a Chatas, which is Kodshim Kodshim. So B'Shlema Nitma, I can understand when we're talking about the Korban becoming possible. We can say Gali Rachmona B'Kodshim Kalim. The Torah tells us that this applies by Kodshim Kalim because the Pasuk that we quoted, B'Habosar Asher Yigah B'Chotamei Lo Ye'ochol B'Oshi Sorif, is talking about a Shlomim. So we say it. We see it by Kodshim Kalim, Kol Shekin B'Kodshim Kodshim. So we make a Kavach Chomer and say all the more so that would apply to Kodshim. Ela Yotze, but when it comes to this din about it going out of the Azara or out of Yerushalayim, Ashkechon Kodshe HaKodshim, we see from the story of Moshe and Aaron that it applies to Kodshe HaKodshim, Kodshim Kalim Minolon, but where do we know that it also applies to Kodshim Kalim? Maybe we would say kodshim kodshim are more severe, so therefore if they go out of the azara, then we have to burn them. Maybe kodshim kalim are more lenient, we're not going to require you to burn it. So that's one thing. The two, and not only that, even if you're going to say, fine, we can say that we can learn from kodshim kodshim to kodshim kalim, but hodetanya, what about this that we learn in a braisa, londama, that there are other cases where we burn the korban if the blood of it was left overnight and then it became possible to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, or Nishbach Dama, if the blood was spilled before it was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, or Yatza Dama Chutz LaKloyim, or the blood of the korban was taken outside of the kloyim, outside of the azara, where again we said that the same way as we said before about Moshe and Aaron, that Pnima teaches us that the blood has to stay inside the azara the whole time. So Dekaimel on Bistrefa. Now we know throughout Shas that those kinds of psulim also have to be burnt. Menolon, where do we know those from? So it's one. So two questions. Number one, how do we know that by Kodshim Kalim in general that Yotze has to get burnt? The story with Moshe and Aaron is only about Kodshim Kodshim. And second of all, where do we know that it also applies to these cases? For example, where the blood rather than the meat was taken out of the Azara, or where the blood became tome or spilled, or not tome, where the blood was left overnight or spilled. How do we know in all those cases also that it has to be burnt? The pasuk only says, V'abosar sheyigah b'chol tome, has to be burnt. And we learn about Yotze that it has to be burnt. Fine, but how do we know that it applies to these cases? The answer is nafka lon midu Rab Shimon. The answer is we learn it from what Rab Shimon says. The Tanya Rab Shimon Omer. The pasuk says, the pasuk that we quoted on Amud Aleph about the blood of the chatas that was taken into the Oihol Moed, The expression in the pasuk is that any pchatas where the blood was brought in el oyho moyed lechaper b'kodesh to make kapara in the kodesh loitze ochol can't be eaten by shisara, it has to be burned. So Reb Shimon takes the word b'kodesh and applies it to the end of the pasuk ba'esh tisarif, because after all, the pasuk didn't have to say lechaper b'kodesh; it could have just said lechaper, or if you bring it into the oil moed b'pashtus, you bring it in for kapara, or it could have put the word b'kodesh earlier in the pasuk, whatever. So therefore, since it puts the word b'kodesh near the end, then b'kodesh ba'esh tisarif, we can douse in the pasuk that b'kodesh in the holy area, meaning not the heichel, but rather the azara, then b'oish tisarif, it has to be burned. Limit achatas shesrifas b'kodesh. So we see from that achatas has to be burnt in, that achatas that became possible has to be burnt in the azara. Now, continues Reb Shimon, ein li elazu. Now, you would only know from that it means elazu bilvad. You would only know that means then achatas that became possible. Davka chatas sharp sulei kodshe kodshim beimurik kodshim kala minayin. How do we know the same thing applies to any other kodshim that became posel, or the emurim of any kodshim kalim that became posel? Now Rashi points out, if the meat of kodshim kalim becomes posel, then we don't have to burn it in the azara. Then, as we said, in the previous mishnah, you burn it anywhere in Yerushalayim. But the emurim had to stay in the azara, so because after all, they have to be burnt on the mizbeach. So if those became posel, or the meat of kodshim became posel, how do we know that they have to be burnt in the azara? Talmud Lomar v'chol b'kodesh ba'ish tisarif. Therefore, the pasuk says b'kodesh, anything that was supposed to be in the kodesh ba'ish tisarif has to be burnt in fire. So in other words, we use the word b'kodesh kind of in a double sense. It means anything that was supposed to stay in the azara, and it means that we have to burn it in the azara. So now, but the question still is Ashkechon Kodshe Kodshim. Okay, but still, then that still only applies to Kodshe Kodshim. So fine. So we can understand from Reb Shimon that this applies to, for example, when the blood was left overnight and therefore the korban became posel, or the blood was taken out of the azara or whatever. Fine. That covers all of that because it's all b'kodesh. It's all something that needed to stay in the kodesh, and therefore ba'esh tisarif, if it has to be burnt, and he's saying it has to be burnt in the azara. But still, Ashkechon Kodshe Kodshim, still that tells us only about Kodshe Kodshim. Kodshim Kalim Minolon, where do we know that would apply to Kodshim Kalim as well? After all, when it comes to Tuma, fine, the Pasuk tells us when it becomes Tome, you have to burn it. But we can't learn from Tuma to other kinds of Psulim, because after all, Tuma is something that applies even to other kinds of things. For example, Truma or Maiso that becomes Tome also you can't eat, as opposed to, for example, let's say, Truma doesn't become possible if you take it out of Yerushalayim. So how do we know that has to be burnt? So we don't learn it that way. So rather, Ella. So no, what we say is like this: Kol psule b'kodesh b'sreifa. We say anything that became posel in the kodesh, regarding kodshim. We're using the word b'kodesh now to mean of kodshim. So then b'sreifa again, because since the pasuk is b'kodesh ba'esh tisarif, so we learn from that anything having to do with kodshim, any kodshim that became posel, we have to burn. Loishna kodshim kalim v'loishna kodshim kodshim, doesn't matter whether it's kodshim kalim or kodshim kodshim, either way we have to burn it. We learn that from because it's b'kodesh, because it's something having to do with kedusha, having to do with kabanas. Gemara gmirila, we learn b'kabbalah. We learn the Kabbalah that they have to be burned. It's fine. We don't have an explicit pasuk for it, but we learn it by Kabbalah. For chatas to Aaron, then in that case, why do we have the pasuk by Aaron's chatas where we say that he burnt it? Where we say that he burnt it, and Moshe is interrogating him. Why? The Torah is just telling us what actually happened over there. It was in fact the case that they hadn't taken it out of the azara and they hadn't brought the blood into the oil moed, and it was burnt, and Moshe is asking them why. But it's not that we need to learn the halacha. It's not that we need to learn the halacha from it that korbanos are burnt. That korbanos are burnt because of psulim in them. The Torah is just telling us the story of what happened. Now, then the Gemara is going to ask in a little bit. In that case, then why do we need the pasuk specifically by kodshim? If we're saying Gemara Gmirila, we're saying we're learning the Kabbalah as part of Torah Shabbat Peh, that all kodshim that become posel have to be burnt, then why do we need a posik to tell us by shlomim that became tomei, by kodshim kalim that became tomei, that we should need a posik for it? If anyway we're learning it from Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay. So far, that's where we're up to. So far, we're saying that Kodshim that became Possel have to be burnt. We tried to learn it from various Psukim. Ultimately, what we're saying is you can't learn all of the Psulim from the Psukim. Ultimately, you need Gemara, Gemiri law. You need Kabbalah, Baal Peh, to tell us that all of them are burnt. So now the question is, now up until now, we were talking about that certain kinds of psulim you need to do, you could burn right away. For example, we said in the Mishnah, if the meat of the korban became tummy, you can burn it right away. Others of them, we said, you need ibrut surah, you need to leave them overnight. So now we need to figure out that. Ulatana dvei Rav Baravua, what about according to the Tana of the Yeshiva of Rav Baravua, the Omar, where he brings a braisa that says, we learned this earlier in the Masechta, I feel a pigul tone ibrut sura. He says that even pigul, which is a classic example of psula begufay, you still need ibrut sura. You still need to leave it overnight in order to, before you can burn it. You can't just burn it on the spot over there. So according to him, where do we know that you need, according to him, where do you know that you need ibrut sura? Obviously, it must be Yalef oven minoiser. Obviously, it must be because he's learning Xeda Shava on the word oven from noiser. By pigul, it says avoina tisa. By noiser, it also says avoina yisa. So we learn from that just like just like noiser obviously has had ibrut sura by definition, because noiser means it was left beyond the time that you can eat the korban. So necessarily, ibrut sura already happened. That would work really according to Rashi's explanation of ibrut sura, that you just have to leave it overnight. It seems a little harder to understand that maybe according to Rabbi Hananel's explanation, that you have to leave it until it spoils, because not necessarily if you leave it overnight is it spoiled. But anyway, so noiser has had ibrut sura. Therefore, we would learn from that gzeira shava that pigul you also can't burn right away. You have to have ibrut sura. But the question is, v'neilaf oven mechatas da'aron. Instead, why does he learn the gzeira shava from the chatas that Aaron burned? Where also it uses the word avoin over there. Laseis es avoin ha'eda. And now with Aaron's korban. Now, when we say Aaron's korban, by the way, we don't mean it was his personal korban. Rashi says on the pasuk over there it was actually the sor chatas that they brought for Rosh Chodesh, because the eighth day of the miluim is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. We're calling it Aaron's chatas because he's the one who was involved in the story over here. Anyway, the point is we should learn. So why doesn't Rabbi Baravua learn from there? And then we would say, now Aaron didn't wait for ibrut sura. He burnt it right away over there, right that day on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So you see, it didn't require ibrut sura. So why doesn't Rav Baravua say the same thing, that pigul doesn't need ibrut sura? Why is he dafka learning from noiser and saying that it requires ibrut sura? The answer is omaloch. The answer is Rav Baravua can tell you chatas da Aaron ki hai gavna nami ibrut sura ledoris boya. As a matter of fact, if something like what happened with this chatas of Aaron, if something like that were to happen in future generations, then in fact, yes, I would say it needs ibrut sura. Now you have Rashi explains there's a machlokas in Masecht Zvachim. Rashi brings it on the pasuk. What exactly did happen with this korban? We said on Omer Aleph that Moshe asked Aaron, was the blood of it taken outside the Azara? Was the blood or the meat of it taken outside the Azara? And Aaron tells him no. Was the blood brought into the oil moyed? And he tells him no. So why was it burnt? So you have a machlokas in the Gemara and Zvachim, taka why. One opinion is that because of Aaron and his sons were owning him, because after all, Nadav and Avihu had passed away on that day. So therefore, Aaron could bring the korbanos. The halacha is a kohen gadol can bring korbanos even when he's an oinin, but he's not allowed to eat them. And the Gemara explains over there, Rashi brings on the pasuk, that Aaron pointed out to Moshe that there's a difference between kodshei shah and kodshei dodos. There's a difference between korbanos that are brought one time in history, like the Miluim and the Korban of Nachshon, where there's never going to be another opportunity to bring those. So therefore, the usual rules are suspended, and they eat them even though they were oinin him, as opposed to the Sora of Rosh Chodesh, where there's just going to be another one next month. Anyway, all that's one opinion. The other opinion the Gemara mentions in Zvachim is that the Korban became Tomei, and that the Korban became Tomei. So anyway, Rabbi Baravua is saying, regardless, either way, It is the kind of psul where normally it would require ibrut sura, because again, according to him, any psul in a korban requires ibrut sura. Over there, what it was is there was a hiras shah that they burnt it on that day. Now, what do you mean a hiras shah? Rashi previously explains that Moshe had given Aaron instructions that that he held were supposed to apply to all the korbanos of that day. So therefore, so that should include this one, and that would include that if they became tameh, they had to be burnt right away. That's the Hadar Strah. Tosfos explains rather what it means is that Aaron himself is a great Talmud Chacham, so he was able now there hadn't yet been given the detail of the mitzvah about Ibur Tzura. So therefore at that point then by default there was still you burn it right away, but that was only a one time thing. Usually in later generations, Rabbi Baravur would say, in fact, you do have to have Ibur Tzura before you burn it. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Hashtadamrinan kol psula dekodesh b'sreifa." Now, before we said we digressed a second to explain Rabbi Baravur's opinion, but going back to what we were saying before, that ultimately we said that with all korbanos that became posel, and we said b'sreifa, they all have to be burnt. Loishna dekodesh kodshim v'loishna kodshim kalim. Whether we're talking kodesh kodshim or kodshim kalim, ultimately we said Gemara gemirila. We said we're learning it from a Kabbalah. Baal Peh. We're not learning it. We're not learning it from Psukim. So we said, what about the Psukim by Aaron's Korban? That's by Aaron's Korban. We're just saying that's the Torah is just telling us what actually happened. We're not meant to derive the halacha from it. So the question is, Bakodesh Ba'ishti Sodef Lamali. So why do we need the Pasuk that we quoted before about the Chatas Bakodesh in the holy place Ba'ishti Sodef? It has to be burnt. If we're saying that anyway, we're not learning it from that Pasuk. The answer is, so Lomali, what do we need that for? So the answer is, Ahumi Boilish is your Fosse Bakodesh. We need that Pasuk to tell us that you burn it in the Kodesh rather than thinking that you can burn it anywhere you want in Yerushalayim. Okay, what about the Pasuk of Abbasar Asher Yiga B'chol Tomei Lo Yo'ochol Bo'ishi Sarif, the Pasuk about the Shlomim that says the meat of Shlomim that touches anything Tomei cannot be eaten, it has to be burnt in fire. Lomali, what do we need that Pasuk for? We said, if we're saying that we're learning from Gemara Gemirila and not from that Pasuk, so the answer is Ahu Legufei Yitzrich. That Pasuk is needed, Legufei, that's needed just for the simple meaning of the Pasuk. We're not meant to darshan anything from it. We just need it for... We need it for the actual din that it says in the pasuk itself, namely sakdan hamina. You would have thought without that pasuk, you would think like this: kol psule de kodesh. When it comes to the other psulim that we talked about, which are unique to kodesh, could go in lon dama, for example, where the blood was left overnight, the nishbach dama, or if the blood was spilled before it could be sprinkled on the mizbeach, the yotza dama, or the blood was taken out of the azara, the nishchata balayla, or where the korban was shechted at night, the bisreifa. You would say, fine, you know why in those cases the korban has to be burnt. The lesson who b'chulin, because all of those things, none of those apply to chulin. There's no concept of lon dama or any of these other things. When we say chulin over here, we mean non-kodshim. We mean in chulin over here includes things like truma and maisa or whatever. But all of these psulim don't apply to those, or they only apply to korbanos. Avon nitma, but without the pasuk v'abasar sheyiga b'chol tomei, you would think when the korban becomes tomei, the b'cholin nami mifsel. After all, it becomes tomei when truma applies to cholin as well. If truma becomes tomei, you can't eat it either. So you would think. And it becomes possible with cholin. Amos, you would think, since weekdayish activities were done with it. In other words, exactly that. In other words, it was treated like cholin. They were careless and they allowed it to become tomei. So now, like it went down, you would think maybe it went down a degree of kedusha. And maybe you shouldn't need to burn it. It should be enough just to bury it in order to keep it away from the dogs, and eventually it'll rot on its own. Kamash Malan, therefore the Pasuk needs to tell us that even by Tuma, we still say that you need to burn it, even though that's Uvdin Dechol, even though it means that it was treated like, even though it means it was treated like Cholin, like non-Kodshim, nevertheless, we still have to give it the rules of Kodshim and burn it. But when it comes to the other psulim, though, the fact that you burn it with any other psulim, that we don't learn from any psukim, that we learn from Gemara Gemirila. Okay. The Mishnah continued, Nitmua Bailim Osha Mesu. We said, on the other hand, if the psul was not in the korban itself, if the psul was in something external to the korban, for example, the owner became tamei or died, then we said to ubat tsuras and chula, then we said that you have to do ibut tsura, and you have to do ibut tsura, you have to leave it overnight before you can burn it, which in the case of the korban Pesach means that you have to leave it until the morning of the 16th, because you can't burn it on Yom Tov itself. And then we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yechon ben Berakah says that no, even that you could burn right away because there's nobody to eat it. So Amar Rav Yosef Machloikas Shenit Mobilem Achaz Rika. The Machloikas would be if the owner became Tomei after the blood of the korban was sprinkled. The Ischazi Basol Achila. So now you have a point when the meat was ready to be eaten. I mean, it couldn't actually be eaten because you can't eat it until Pesach night. But in other words, once the blood was sprinkled, at that point the meat in principle becomes mutter to eat. So everything was done behechsher. Therefore, the Tanakhama would say now to burn the korban you need ibur tzura. Avol nitmu b'ilam lifnei zrika. But says Rabbi Yosef, if the owner became tamei before the zrika, deloy ischazi basal achila, the meat had not yet been made able to be eaten because you can't eat the meat until the blood of the korban is sprinkled. Divrei hakol yisaref miyad. Then everybody would agree, even the Tanakhama, that you burn it right away. Says Mesvi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Zehaklal, this is the rule. Kol shepsula begufayim yisarif miyad. Whenever you have a psul in the actual korban itself, then you burn it right away. Bedam, but if the psul was in the blood, for example, the blood became tame, or the blood was spilled. By the way, if the blood became tame, we said before that b'diavad, that tzitz might work for it, but we also had a machlokas. Does that mean only if the truma of it happened b'shoigig? Does it mean only if it was sprinkled b'shoigig, etc.? So there can be cases where the blood becomes tame and the korban is in fact puzzle. And obviously, if it was spilled, then the tzitz doesn't help with that. So psulim that have to do with the blood, or b'bailim, or psulim that have to do with the owner, like in this case, for example, where the owner died or became tamei, or other examples you could have by other korbanos, where the korban can no longer be brought because of something involving the owner, then to ubat tsura, say, then you need ibur tsura, the yetzel veis hasreifa, and it goes out to be burned. So we mentioned dam and bailim. Katoni bailim drumya de dam. Now the braisa is putting together bailim together with dam, implying that there's a certain similarity. Ma dam lifnei zrika, af bailim lifnei zrika. By definition, a psul with the dam had to have happened before the zrika, because if after the zrika, then there's no problem. Even if the shirayim, we say in the Mishnah in the morning in Ezo Makoyman, imloy nosan lo ikev with the shirayim. If you don't pour the shirayim on the mizbeach, nothing happens. The korban is still kosher. Once the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, then the korban is kosher. So obviously, if we're talking about a psul with the blood, it means that it happened before the zrika. Af bailim lifnei zrika. Therefore, we would have to assume that in the braisa, when it mentions a psul with the owners, also it means that it happened before zrika. And still, the Tana of this braisa, who is the Tanakama of our Mishnah, says that you need ibur tsura. So because he says tru ibur tsurase. So that doesn't work. Ela itmar hochi itmar. Rather, what we have to say is if the what Rabbi Yosef had said, what he said was as follows. The other way around, machloikas shenitmo bailim lifnei zrika. The machloikas of the chachamim and Rabbi Yechon ben Berakha is where the owner became tamei before the zrika. Deloy ischazi basal achila. Now, Rabbi Yechon ben Berakha's way of looking at it is, since the meat never became kosher to eat, because the blood was never sprinkled before he became tamei, to have a like a psul gufay. So then Rabbi Yechon ben Berakha is going to say, in effect, that's like a psul in the actual korban itself, rather than an external thing, and therefore you can burn it right away. Aval nitmo bailam la'acha zrika. But if the owner became tamei after the zrika, de ischazi basal achila, where the meat became able to be eaten, then everybody, even Rabbi Yechon ben Berakha, would agree that's considered psulei machmas davar acher, ubaya ibur tsura, and therefore you would need ibur tsura, you'd need to leave it overnight, or in this case over 2 nights, before you could burn it. So we understand the machlokas that way then, so it means, in other words, the machlokas is, actually Tosfos says, the machlokas would be both before and after zrika. Either way, whether the owner became tamei, or whether the owner died or became tamei before or after the zrika, So then you would say it's psulei begufoi. So therefore you burn it right away. And if it's after zrika, then that's where Rabbi Yechon ben Broka would be saying, in that case, if it was after zrika, the meat was able to be eaten. It's true the meat was able to be eaten. Nevertheless, we still consider it a psul begufoi because. The other way around. Rather, what we're saying is, before zrika, we're saying that's davka where the machlokas is. That's where Rabbi Yechon ben Broka would say. Then we consider that a psul begufoi because the meat never even was able to be eaten yet. Whereas the Chacham say, still the fact is the psul only happened because the owner became tamei or whatever. Therefore, we have to consider it. Therefore, it needs ibur tzura. But if the owner became tamei after zrika, then we're saying there was a point already when the meat became able to eat. Even Rabbi Yechon ben Broka is going to agree that that's psul machmas davar acher. Therefore, he's going to say that you need to do ibur tzura before you can burn it. Okay, so that's according to Rabbi Yosef that's how he understands the machlokas. Rabbi Yechonon Omer Af La'Acha Zrika Nami Machlokas. Rabbi Yechonon says no. The machlokas between Rabbi Yechonon and Broka and the Chachamim is even after Zrika. Tosfos apparently had a girsa without the word nami, without the word also, and so they say it means it's both before and after Zrika. In other words, again, Rabbi Yosef is saying the way that we corrected what Rabbi Yosef is saying. He's saying that there's no machlokas la'achar zrika. Everybody would agree that it needs ibur tzura. Rabbi Yechon is saying no. Whether lifnei zrika or whether la'achar zrika, whenever the owner became tomei, still the chachamim are going to say it needs ibur tzura. And Rabbi Yechon ben Broka is always going to be saying that it doesn't. You can burn it right away. V'azder Rabbi Yechon l'taimei. Now Rabbi Yechon is going in that according to his svara. The Amr Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Yechonon and Breka of Rabbi Nechemia Amr Dover Echad. Rabbi Yechonon points out that Rabbi Yechonon and Breka of our Mishnah and Rabbi Nechemia of a Braisa that we're going to quote both in effect said the same thing. And once we understand what they're saying, then we're going to understand how we see that this fits with what Rabbi Yechonon is explaining, that Rabbi Yechonon ben Broka is going to say that whether the psul with the owner happened before or after the zrika, either way, it doesn't need ibur tzura, it can be burnt right away. So Rabbi Yechonon ben Broka hodam moron, we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yechonon ben Broka says you can burn it right away. And again, Rabbi Yechonon is understanding Rabbi Yechonon ben Broka to mean that means regardless whether you... Whether the owner became tamei before or after the zrika, Rabbi Nechemia Mai. Where do we see that Rabbi Nechemia addresses this? The Tanya, Rabbi Nechemia Omer. We learn in a Braisa that going back to the story of the korban that Aaron burned, he says, "Mepnei aninus nisir fazu." This korban was burnt only because of aninus, because again they were oninim. They're not allowed to eat kodshim. That is why Aaron, when he responds to Moshe, he uses the word ka'ela like these. Vatikrena oisi ka'ela, such things happened to me. In other words, that Nodav and Avihu passed away. So in other words, Rashi explains like this. What happened according to Rabbi Nechemia was as follows. Moshe had told them that even though you're oinonim, you still have to eat the korbanos. It's true that normally oinonim are not allowed to eat the korbanos, but these are the korbanos of the miluim. It's a special day. Therefore, you have to eat them. Moshe thought that applies to all the korbanos that are brought that day, including the sorer shchodesh. In the event, they ended up burning the sorer shchodesh, and therefore, Moshe was upset about that. And he says, Madu alai achaltam asachatos, etc. So Aaron explains to him, it's one thing when it comes to the mincha and the other korbanos, which are special for that day, they're kodshei shah. So therefore, so those we have to eat. But the chatos, which was the sorer of shchodesh, is kodshei dodos. So they're also for an oinen. So that's why we're not eating them. So he's saying, "Vatikrena oisi ka'ela." Since such things happened to me, since my sons passed away, and therefore we're an oinen. Then, when it comes to kodshei dodos, when it comes to korbanos that are going to be brought in future generations, like the sorer of Rosh Chodesh, there's no exception. We may have been allowed to bring them, but we're not allowed to eat them. And Moshe agreed to that. Vayishma Moshe vayita be'enav. Now, Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Zvachim argues with Rabbi Nechemiah about that. He says what happens was that the korban became tamei. And so what happened was Moshe asked Aaron, I understand the korban became tamei, but how could you allow that to happen? Maybe you had such tsar over that Nadav and Abihu passed away that you were careless and allowed the korban to become tamei, and that's why you burnt it. And Aaron answers him, Vatikrena oisi ka'ela, is like a rhetorical question. Vatikrena oisi ka'ela, even if such things had happened to me, do you think that I would be mevaza kodshim and allow them to become tamei? Vatikrena oisi ka'ela, even if such things and more happened to me, I would never be mevaza kodshim to allow them to become tamei. So in other words, it was an oinus. It wasn't that I was careless. There was an oinus that happened that it became tamei. But anyway, the point is, Rabbi Nechemiah is saying it was because of Aninus. Now, v'ha Aninus kila achar zrika havya. Now, after all, Aninus is like after zrika, meaning, in other words, now Rashi brings a girsa over here that the Aninus was after zrika. But Rashi says, come on, I mean, we don't see in the psukim when the sword of Rosh Chodesh was brought. It could conceivably have been that they brought it before Nadav and Avihu passed away. It could be afterwards. The pasuk doesn't specify. No, what the Gemara is saying is, that after all, the achatos is not like a korban pesach. A korban pesach, as we've said before, the purpose of it is to be eaten. And therefore, if the owner becomes tomei or what have you, then the korban becomes posel. With achatos, it's not like that. As long as the blood of it was sprinkled, then even if the kohenim don't eat it, that doesn't change the kashrus of it. So therefore, so it doesn't really matter for that purpose whether Nadav and Avihu passed away before or after the zrika. So therefore, in effect, therefore, what we're saying is when in this case the Kohenim are oinanim and they're not able to eat it, but nevertheless, the Avodah was still kosher because Aaron did it, and Aaron being a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah as an oinan. So when it comes to Aninus, it doesn't matter whether it happens before, and we're talking about a Chatas, it doesn't matter whether it's before Zrika or after Zrika, because either way, the Chatas does not have to be eaten in order to be kosher. And nevertheless, we see that when they burnt it, la'alter nisteruf, they burnt it right away on the spot. They did not do ibur tzura. So you see that Rabbi Nechemiah holds, therefore, that whether it's before or after zrika, it doesn't matter. Either way, whether the owner became posel before or after the zrika, then either way, we can burn it right away. We don't have to do ibur tzura. So that brings us to what Rabbi Yechanan had said. Rabbi Yechanan ben Broke in our Mishnah is saying that Rabbi Yechanan understands Rabbi Yechanan ben Broke of our Mishnah to be saying that either way, even if the psula is in the owner, that the owner became tamei, he still says you burn the korban right away. So we see that he and Rabbi Nechemiah are following the same logic that no matter what, even if the psula was in the owner, then still you don't need ibur tzura. It's still considered a psula gufay, and therefore you burn it right away. So we'll continue with that tomorrow, Bez Hashem.
Thank you, Rob.